Good morning. It's great to be with you. Those of you that haven't received our prayer card, so you can ask that beautiful lady that's there, my wife, Leticia. She'll can give you a prayer card if you haven't received one at the entrance. We want to thank you as a family for being so close to us in ministry. All of what you will be seeing here, you've been part of it. And so it is good for you to know what's going on, apart from the updates and newsletters that we get to you. If you want to receive our newsletters personally and the updates, just at the end of the meeting, write down your email address, give it to Leticia or to me, and we'll just add it on to the contact. So it's great to be here. I know that several are traveling and are away, so we missed out in seeing them. But here's Uruguay. You know where Uruguay is. How many don't know where Uruguay is? Okay. A very small country, 3 million people, right under a huge country like Brazil and beside Argentina, a big country also. 3 million people, that's all what we have. I think we have about 3 million people all around the world spread around, but that's what Uruguay is, a very tiny country in South America. And some of the main features like about the Uruguayan culture, many of them you already know, is soccer, big, very big, the mate, it's a tea, I'll explain it after, the music, candombe, and all what's, all the surrounding of it, and tourism. So, the first one, soccer, soccer's big, it's kind of like your hockey here, and so it's a passion. We always love soccer. I have my favorite team. We agree in that with Amy and Leticia. But Annie, the small one, she has her own team. And she stood up one day and said, I choose this team and I cheer for this team. So she has her own strong will, and that's okay. It's great. So it's 3-1. Well, she knows her team didn't do that well this year, so we've done much better. The Uruguayan team came in fourth last World Cup. Now we are classified to the World Cup 2014 in Brazil, and we've become the ghost for Brazil. And they just can't figure that out, because we're 3 million people. How can we have a team that could beat them in their own country, as it happened in 1930. So that's why Uruguay, 100 years after the first World Cup, wants to organize the 100-year World Cup in Uruguay, and it would be along with Argentina. It's not confirmed. FIFA has to decide about that, so we'll see what happens. But soccer is a passion. And as you see, here you have the mate, right in the stadium there. It's part of our, as we always say, your coffee, our mate, and that's our tea. It's the mate is a plant, and it's this gourd is called mate, and you have it cut on the top, and you just pour into a green tea. Last time I think I brought a thermos and the gourd here and showed you, drank some mate, and I think about 8 years ago, even some of the children came up and tried some of the mate. I'm not sure if it was here or somewhere else, but so this is a real typical drink. There's even a monument of the mate in Uruguay, and it goes along with anything. You'll see people driving their bicycles, serving the hot water from the thermos and pour it into this gourd, and they're just driving along and no hands. And it's a lot of fun and dangerous. And we have the carnival, Uruguay. This is a type of music that we have, candombe. It's part of the Uruguayan culture. It's big during our summer, December, January, and February. It is surrounded by a real dark background that comes from Brazil and comes from Africa. So you'll see many very strange things the following morning to these huge amount of dancers, thousands on the streets of the country in the different provinces. And many times you'll find different sacrifices that are done to the devil on the corners of the streets. And so it's a big thing and also a very sad thing, because behind all of this festival, you have this dark side where you see the devil really influencing our culture. So I guess it would be something like Halloween for you guys here in Canada, that back dark background. So I've shared with some assemblies that we received one of these sacrifices right in front of our home in the church plant that we did, that we started 12 years ago in Punta del Este on the east coast city down by the beach. We had just bought this property to build the chapel on it, and to our surprise, we bought this property, and beside it we had this satanic temple, and we didn't know about it. There was something strange, and we could see it, and the reading of the palm, and just trying to guess what would happen to you in the future, but not to that dimension. So when that happened, as a very small assembly and just starting off in this place, we began to pray. Basically, Lord, bring them to you or get rid of them. And so, well, many years went by, and about 2 years, 2 years and a half, 3 years, this satanic temple closed their doors, and they weren't there anymore. But during that time, we received one of those sacrifices right on the front door of our home. So I don't know what that meant. We know that it wasn't something good. There was some satanic influence, and really they wanted to get rid of us somehow. But we know that the power of the blood of Jesus has overcome all the strength of the devil, and our peace is on the blood of Jesus, and we can pray with that confidence and come to Him. And we've seen how the Lord removes that real bad influence that may sometimes be freaky. That's the word that you'd use, but the Lord is with us, and our confidence is in Him. And one of the interesting things that just happened 1 week before coming up to Canada this time, it's been 3 years that we haven't been in the assembly in Punta del Este, the one that we planted, and they called us up saying that the lady who was the owner of this satanic temple, it had gone to meet him. So we were kind of surprised. Well, we don't know if it's for a good reason or for a bad reason, but pray along with us that it may be for a good reason, and that she could come to know Jesus as her Savior. So you never know what the Lord can do, even with such a corruption and misleading. Tourism is huge. This is our new and modern airport that welcomes people into the country. It was chosen the prettiest and the best and most practical airport in the world. Imagine that. Eh? So it came up in the forum, I don't know, business and all that. Many come air, others with cruise ships. Tourism is very big. And we have lots of sun, sand, which many of you like to go down south looking for. And so some of the pictures there, that's the city where we used to live 12 years ago up to recently, 3 years ago. And Punta del Este. That's the kind of like the Miami of South America. And here you see more pictures, beautiful constructions and yachts and lots of money and all with the money, immorality and corruption. Everything is there. Some fishing villages and some of the places where tourists get to go. But on the other side of the coin, we have poverty. The very sad situation that the country goes through. Uruguay's economy has really built up and is doing very well, so poverty now is really gone down. Uruguay is considered the least poor country of South America. And we have investors coming from all over the world putting their money in the country because it's a real secure country. So that's a bit of the what the country is all about. I don't want to go into more details. Just going into some of the characteristics of Uruguay. Uruguayan mindset is just secular. Frank got a book out of the of, I'm not sure if it's Operation Mobilization, okay, and he was just reading through all the data from Uruguay, and as he read, I was saying, hey, that's all part of the report. So, and so humanism is huge. The influence of Catholicism has gotten people very confident in themselves. So Uruguay was based on the French education system where God is absent. So in 1918, Uruguay in their school system has had no God, no prayer, no mention about Jesus. Many children in Uruguay to the date, if you go and ask them who Jesus is, they couldn't answer. And so there's much to be done there in Uruguay in that sense. They may have heard about God, but not necessarily about Jesus, the Son of God. And so part of this is described with the words of our president, which said just before being elected, there is no such thing as divine providence. Everything we have is product of what we do. So it's completely humanistic, okay? Centered in ourselves. So to share the gospel, it is a challenge. In Argentina, you'll find assemblies that grow, expand, and it's happening everywhere. There's more of a seek of spiritual things, but Uruguay, you just go and you feel that you're bumping into a wall, and the person is just telling you, what are you talking about? I cannot understand you. God, Jesus, what he did, that doesn't really meet any of my needs or my reality. I respect what you are telling me, what you believe, but that's kind of it. And so it has been always a tough country for evangelism. Uruguay has been called a cemetery of missionaries, where missionaries go, and they see very little fruit, nothing happening. They leave the country. Many have gotten discouraged and have gone to Argentina or other Latin American countries. But in the past 15, 20, 25 years, there's been an awakening in the assemblies, but all other groups also. The awakening has been among the Church of Jesus Christ. So we are glad for that. We are very happy. And we'll kind of go into some of the more specifics of our ministry. That thy way may be known upon earth. We hate to put Uruguay. Now, you never know what the Lord can do with you. He may want to send you to China or whatever. Thy salvation among all nations. And this is our favorite verse with Leticia. That's the burden that the Lord has put on our hearts before being sent out as missionaries. So, just to get you into what's going on with our lives, we have the 19 provinces of Uruguay. We are living at present in the capital city down here, Montevideo. It's 1.3 million people who live there, so it's almost a half of the country in the capital city. And we are working in Carmelo. It's an assembly that kind of collapsed. Different problems, very sad problems happening with the leadership, basically. And so the national elders and missionaries in a gathering that we had after our trip to Canada 3 years ago asked us with Leticia to be able to, if we would accept the challenge of going to this assembly and kind of reconstruct all what had happened there. That's the word. If I don't come across with an idea, just lift your hands up. And I didn't understand. So this assembly has been a challenge. Many sad things which burden you and tire you sometimes also. But on the other hand, we are seeing good results of the Lord's work and what He is doing in the lives of very few people, and but they're growing very nicely, and we see good things there. So we, our home assembly is in Montevideo, where we are working, and we have Carmelo as an extension that we travel. It's 260 kilometers away. So Montevideo is a has an old part, the modern parts, as you see here, the old section, French, English buildings, and the most modern. And Carmelo is a city that's right on the west, as you saw on the map, and beautiful city also. It's right on the river Uruguay, which meets with River Plate and after goes into Atlantic Ocean. So you have golf resorts, many vineyards. The best wines of Uruguay are going to France at this moment. And so that's a real neat bridge that kind of turns around, hand traction. And so it's one of the only bridges that are still around in the world, from what we understand. The focus of our ministry, basically we put it into three big abstract ideas: young people, young couples, and leadership. We see several young couples here, and that's good, because when you have young couples that are committed to living with passion for Jesus Christ, the things that happened are just incredible. And many of you have small children. I love to hear them just running and around. That's great. And so keep on going. We work a lot with the young people leadership and young people and young couples. So here's a bit of the activities that we do with the young people. It has been growing. Many outreach programs. Lots of fun, because young people need it. If not, they'll go and find it somewhere else. That's the reality. So we have to provide of fun things. And we've seen that this has really worked a lot, because sometimes we think that our young people, I was one of them, that they're all into the computer, into the cell phones, and they are kind of outside of this world and kind of penetrated there. Well, it is true, but they love to have fun. And when we do outreach activities, it's incredible how their friends, the Christian young people that invite their friends, the friends just find themselves so happy and having fun, feeling that people are interested in them, the young people are interested in them. So it really creates a real neat atmosphere. So basically, as we've been working with the group, it has been exciting. Many have come to the Lord, have been discipled. We take the time to work a lot with discipleship and working on the person and just trying to help them out as they come out from real, in some cases, wicked situations and family situations. that are very sad. So there's about 50, 55 young people in this assembly in the capital city. That's a huge, long, big, very tasty sandwich. And they had to compete between each other. And of course, they ate it all up after. Nothing was left over. Soccer, volleyball, basketball, sorry to say, no hockey. I see an Oilers t-shirt there. We like the hockey, but we don't have it there. And so some horse riding, going out into the country with some of the young people. And so it's very interesting. 2012, last year, we spoke on the topic, kind of the slogan of the year, was young people who bless others, and just trying to take the focus out of ourselves. The tendency is to focus on ourselves. My career, my studies, my car, my home, my family, my, me. And just help the young people to do the shift and think as Jesus thought in others. And how we can bless others with the talents, with the things that He has given us. And it has been wonderful. This year, we spoke on wisdoms, being wisdom searchers. So, of course, we went through James, through Proverbs, and we spoke on real practical issues for young people. And we saw many young people taking good decisions in their hearts. And next year, we have the challenge. In a few days, it starts. And Happy New Year, just in case I didn't say it. Young people on mission. And this is what we love. So we are trying to work inside out. Just making sure that the heart of the young people understand that it's not about just doing, but about being, to be able to give effectively. And this takes time. It's a process, but it's wrapping around after 3 years of working with them. And we have a real nice group of young people that like to go on short weekend mission trips. So we take them around with us. That's the van for eight. You probably knew that we were praying for it. And finally, the Lord provided for it also. So it's been with us. It's a Citroën, a French car, and we've had it for 8 months now. 8 months, yeah. About 3 weeks ago, in the last report, I had to say 7 months. Now it's 8 months, and we've traveled I think it's around 23,000 kilometers in 8 months. So it's a small country, but we travel a lot, and taking young people all over the country. It's a way that you teach, train, but they are seeing and they are practicing what they learn. So that's great. Here are some pictures of them. And it really, I feel like going back to Uruguay and meeting them. Yes, they're a nice group. Many of them don't know how to do practical things because they haven't had a mom or a dad who that would teach them. So these weekend activities, I didn't get a picture. I'm just noticing some of the young girls in the kitchen. Yeah, some of them have no idea of how to cook a bit of rice, okay? Because they just didn't have mom with them, some reason, or no interest in mom to teach them. And so we get the fellows here also working with different construction, painting, building. The drywall system now in Uruguay is becoming more famous. And 3 years ago, I'd asked Luke, what materials you use? Because there was a young elder in the Punta del Este assembly that wanted to go into this construction system, and which was fairly new in the country. So now he has his own business, Luke. And he's building homes, and he's building assemblies also to bless the work. So that's great. So a lot of teaching goes into that. As you see, mate never misses. It's always there. There it's again. Nice faces, eh? Well, young couples always are a challenge. Many of these young people that are getting married have no models in their homes. So we have to sit down with them and just go through the Bible and use materials. We've used a bit of a material that Frank and Diane gave us 3 years ago, Sacred Marriage, I think. And many things have happened, beautiful couples. I've had to marry several of them. Here are some pictures of the couples that we've married and also that we work with. And there are many missing. I didn't have room for all of them. And we are invited around the country to talk to young couples and older couples. I don't feel that comfortable talking to older couples because I'm young. I better say that before time go by. But we haven't gone through all the stages of our marriage, so we feel that there are many things that we have to keep on learning. But it's interesting. Everybody welcomes us, and we can talk sincerely. We try to make, sometimes we divide the group, and it's very dynamic. There's a lot of smiles and jokes and chuckling. You chuckle when you chuckle. Okay. Man, that word came out from somewhere. And so it was, it's a very nice work. We enjoy it a lot. It demands a lot of time and preparation, but, and quite a bit of traveling also. So this is one of the meetings that we had, at the couples meeting that we had in the assembly in Montevideo, where we are working. And the goal was to invite our non-Christian friends, couples, friends. And so we kind of got all the benches away and changed the place. And put in these tables and chairs. We had about 10 couples that are not Christians that were out, so that was a real nice activity, and the goal was accomplished, and we praise the Lord for that. We had all the young, well, not all the young people, but many of the young people involved in serving the tables, so they like to do it, and she was the chef, Sarah, oh, there you go. She was a chef, and he was the young Bruno, he's called, in charge of the waitresses. And so they'd go around the table serving, and some of the delicious plates that they prepared for us. Very nice, very nice. And every time I see this picture, I feel like we should do another one of these. So, not just for the food, just in case, but just because of the result of and the blessing. Leticia's involved with ladies ministry a lot. Young girls, young mothers, as you see here, and older ladies also. Leti is a real gifted speaker. So when you listen to her talking in English, that's not the way that she speaks in Spanish. Okay? She's a very good speaker. And has a very good Bible knowledge, and a good communicator also. And the Lord has been using her in many activities, including the national retreat for a woman that gathers about 250, 270 from the different assemblies in the country. So there are some of the meetings where she's been at in the local assemblies. She works a lot with the children. Here's Annie, and here's Amy. I love these pictures. These children are full of fleas, and so mommy has a lot of work when Amy and Annie hug these children. But it's nice that they hug these children because they're little people that need Jesus. And sometimes we may want to think, no, keep away from, because lots of fleas and get close to that kind of people. Prostitutes, homosexuals, everybody needs Jesus. And so it's great to see Amy and Annie there, getting close up to them, even though they're not that clean sometimes. And while Mommy goes to a lot of work after. Some of the young people that we take around, there's a home in Carmelo where abandoned children stay. And so it's a very sad place to be, but we bring in joy. And we take the joy of Christ in. And it's a public place where you cannot present the gospel. It's not allowed. But they've allowed us to do it now because they know us. They just appreciate the love that we have towards the kids. We just pick them up and hug them. They love us. They grab on to our you just cannot walk. So it's a beautiful experience for us because sometimes we can become a bit rusty and comfortable. But these situations make us vulnerable and really test how our heart is. And so it's been great for us and also for the young people who experience real strong emotions at moments. I think he's happy there. He won a glass there with his face on it. While Leticia giving some of the children's lessons. Camps is a big thing in ministry. We are in a normal month in January, the summer camps. We are on the other side of the equator. So we spend our Christmas with lots of sand, heat, and very different to you, the snow. And so camps in the summer generally averaging 8-year-old to 30-year-old. We have 3 camps in different parts of the country, and we'll probably get almost to 2,000 children, teenagers, and young people going to these camps. And here are some of the pictures. These are 2 girls that we've sent over to Argentina, to Bible College, Word of Life. We do not have a real good Bible schools in Uruguay, so they've gone over. They've been there for 2 years, and they'll continue 1 more year studying. So they are 2 young girls from the assembly and the young people group in the capital city. National activities, and we are coming to an end. We have the ladies' retreat that I already spoke to you. Leticia is involved in the organization. She's also had to speak at this conference. And here we have some of the youth activities that we have. It's the national one that we have once a year. This year we had over 400 young people. I think you got that email, that newsletter. It was great. We had a speaker coming over from Argentina, and you just see these young people all there taking good decisions to follow Jesus Christ. And this is a huge barbecue that we had in that occasion. Oh, man, that's good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's wood. So they burned the wood and used the hot coals, and they spread it under these big, huge grills that were... So you have beef, you have sausages, different types of beef, and sausages there in this occasion. So 450 people ate from this. Lots of meat. And you need people who really know how to cook it, because if not, they'll burn it. This is so much, so they have to be... It has to be well under control. Our Christmas and New Year's, we always have barbecues. That's the traditional. For you, it's the turkey. And so this is the typical for Christmas and New Year. This is one of the great blessings that the Lord has allowed us to be working with and along in Uruguay, is the tent meetings done in different parts of the country, helping the local assemblies. And here's the bus that was able to be purchased 2 years ago, 1 year and a half ago. And it was a bus that it was all transformed. We just painted it on the outside. and put verses on it, the Uruguayan flag there, and making it real, a Uruguayan bus. And we transformed a part of it into kind of like a motor home. So you have a dining room in one section, which transforms into bedrooms, and vice versa. You kind of move back there. We've got a bathroom into it, a kitchen into it, and more bunk beds, and a place in behind for the big tent that holds around 300 people. The tent was also made by the local assembly people, so they really went to a lot of work. So this has been a blessing to the assemblies around the country, a real neat activity. This gathers many young people and enthuses them to get on the mission and working. So we are very glad for this ministry. And here we have some of the tent meetings, generally in the morning. We cannot go and invade people in their homes because they're cooking or they're working. So we take time for 3 hour, 2 hours and a half, 3 hour periods per day, just studying the Bible. So that's what we do. Our calling, we like to kind of summarize it to a few words. To be able to assist other assemblies and missionaries in Uruguay and abroad with teaching, training, and encouragement. We found out that encouragement is very necessary, mainly for the leadership around the country that go through difficult moments, go through trials, and they need encouragement. So the Lord has given us, with Leticia, that gift of encouragement, just coming along and helping elders and missionaries and just, I don't know, being close to them and coming along and helping in whatever way. So we do a lot of teaching, training, and encouragement. I was looking for a word for encouragement that would begin with T, because I have teaching, training, and I like to use that system when I preach, but I didn't find one. So if somebody can give me an idea, it would be good. I would like that. These are some of the cities that we visit in Uruguay in a normal year, and are some of the prayer requests that we leave for you are these. Family, the correct balance between ministry, which is very dynamic and there's a lot to do, but also family, which is so important. I haven't said all what we do, and in fact, Leticia is involved in World Transworld Radio. She's part of the board there, and the broadcast comes from there, and the programs from all over the world are done. Many of them are done in Uruguay, and so they have a lot of work in Transworld Radio. And Leticia is part of that. She's the secretary of this board. So we need to know when we have to stop, because when we have to be as a family, but sometimes we may not understand when we have to stop. So we have to pray for that, that the Lord take care of us in that way, because we really know that family is our first place that we have to pastor well. And for the new elders in Montevideo, the assembly in Montevideo went through 9 years of having no elders, and when we arrived, the purpose basically of coming there was to just take the assembly through the process of a recognition of elders. There had been many problems, and so I was telling Frank yesterday that this process, we thought it would take around 3 to 4 years, because there were many hurt people, injuries, and misunderstandings, and all kinds of things going on. So it wasn't going to be easy, humanly speaking, but the Lord surprised us. After 1 year of Bible teaching and prayer, we have 3 young, good elders with very nice families. So pray for them. And pray for the spiritual leadership for Carmelo, this small assembly on the West Coast. That's a very small assembly. This will take much more time, I think. And so pray for that. Wisdom as we work with a newer generation. Uruguay assemblies fought between each other for many years. That's not good. That's not Jesus' idea. And so in the past 15 years, we've been seeing unity. We are all working together at the present time. This has been beautiful. It's as Psalm 133 says, it has brought blessing and eternal life at the end of that chapter. And that's true, and that's what's going on. So there are very few leadership above our age, and there are some of our age, but we have to invest in this new generation from 40 down, because they'll be the future leadership of the assemblies in several years ahead. And pray for the couple ministry. Thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your support. Every month, we receive from Bethel, through MSC, that financial support, which is makes you part of what the Lord is doing there in Uruguay, and it also allowing us as a family to have our basic needs accomplished. And also, thanks for your prayers. Many of you have even answered back. Teresa's one that writes back saying, how can I pray for you? And we have Tom that 3 years ago said, every day I pray for you as a family. And he has his prayer card, I think, close by to the night table or something like that. That's so, man, what a blessing. So thanks so much. I was going to share with you something from Scripture, but I changed it this morning when we were in the Lord's Supper, because the topic, all through the breaking of bread, was about being thankful and praising God and being thankful for what He has done in us. And I've just selected some scriptures, give you two thoughts about being thankful, of gratitude. We are to give thanks at all times. That's what the Bible teaches us. We are to give thanks at all times, but we are to give thanks in all things. Okay? Remember those two. If you remember those two, I'll be happy. We are to give thanks at all times. I invite you to open your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to... Oops, that's a difficult word for me. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to give thanks at all times. In Psalm 92, we find that we must be thankful and we should praise the name of the Lord every morning and every night. So when we get up, we should praise and give thanks to the Lord. When we go to sleep, we should praise and give thanks to the Lord. But also it says at midnight that we should be thankful to the Lord. At midnight, I arise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. How many times have you woken up in the middle of the night? I woke up last, I don't know what time it was, but I woke up, and one of the things I try to do right away is give thanks to the Lord, because that's in the Bible. Not turn around and grumble and say, oh, why did I get awake? I can't go to sleep again. No, just praise the Lord and give thanks to the Lord. Morning, night, midnight. And when you eat, we've been taught to praise and give thanks to the Lord. But also as we pray, we must be thankful. Gratitude must be just come out of our heart and thank the Lord for what he has done. Frank shared with us in Philippians this morning in the breaking of bread, chapter 4 of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And of course, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. We are to give thanks at all times. I must be sincere and honest that I'm not always thankful. And this is always a challenge for us. Enter His gates, Colossians, Psalms, and even Revelation, with gratitude, and be grateful to the Lamb of God for what He has done for everyone and for me. We are to give thanks at all times. And in second place, we are to give thanks in all things. That verse that we read in Philippians 4, verse 16, rejoice, always pray, continually give thanks in all circumstances. Oh, man. We are to give thanks in all things. When things are doing well, in prosperity, but also we have to be thankful for the people who God brings along and puts close to us. Remember the situation that Paul and Silas had to go through in jail? That was incredible. And they were praising the Lord there in Acts 16 and giving thanks for the blessings. Instead of being negative, critical, and gossiping and all that, grumbling, being whiny, we are to give thanks in all things. And thankful for problems and pains, because we have the promise in the Bible. The righteous person may have many problems. We find that in Psalms 34. But the Lord delivers him from them all. So that's a promise. But what's the purpose behind tough moments, problems, and pain? Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, says Paul in Colossians chapter 1. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. What a great attitude. And what's the prayer behind problems and pain as we try to cultivate a thankful heart? The prayer must be, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. Psalm 107, verse 1. Beautiful verse. And I want to finish this with you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. We are to give thanks. We are to give thanks at all times, and we are to give thanks in all things. May the Lord bless you and encourage you, and may this be a real habit in our lives, to honor the name of Jesus Christ. And when we have a thankful and a grateful spirit in our life, non-Christians see it and they wonder, what does this person have that I don't have? I'd like to have that. And when we are thankful people, there is something that God cultivates in us, in our heart, in our minds, which also starts to bless other people very much. Lord Jesus, we give You thanks for Your Son Jesus Christ. We honor His name around this time of the year with Christmas, and we honor His name because He died on the cross to give us salvation and eternal life. We give You thanks, O Lord, for what You have done in our life. We give You thanks, Lord, for all of Your provisions, Your protection. We give You thanks for Your faithfulness in every moment. We want to be people who give thanks in all times and in all moments. Help us. And we give You thanks because the purpose that we have on life is not just to live for ourselves, but is to honor and glorify Your name. We praise You. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.